Thursday, 21 January 16, broadcast of the Calvary Hour. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you for tuning into the Calvary Hour. This broadcast is a ministry sponsored by the Calvary Baptist Church in Newbern, North Carolina. I'm Bill Wingard, your host speaker. It's a privilege to be able to come to you today by means of either the airwaves or the internet or however we're reaching you. We're in the book of Ezekiel at this time. As we see in the book of Ezekiel, God brings Ezekiel back in the spirit from over in Babylon and brings him back to Jerusalem and shows him the reasons why God had to send them into captivity, that God had to turn away from them. And wise people we are if we can learn from their mistakes and correct them so that we don't have to live them all over again. Now, in chapter 22 of the book of Ezekiel, as God is seeking a man to stand in the gap and build up the hedge, we see that the results of Israel's sin is their prophets were corrupt, their priests were corrupt, their princes were corrupt, and their people were corrupt. The whole society from the top to the bottom. If you don't get much else out of this series of messages, remember this, that their problems came from the top to the bottom. The problems that Israel had that carried them into captivity did not originate with the people themselves, but with their leaders. Their prophets went corrupt. They were supposed to be giving the people God's message. The priests were profane. They wouldn't make any difference between the holy and the unholy, the clean and the unclean. They were supposed to be bearing the needs of the people of God. The princes were wicked. They were just in it for what they could get, and the people turned out the same way. Therefore, when God could not find a man to stand in the gap, let me begin reading in verse 30. And I sought for a man among them. I'm in Ezekiel 22:30. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God. I believe God's looking for people today that will stand for him. I believe he's looking for people today that he can use so that he does not have to pour out his wrath upon us. We're warned of this in the New Testament also. Some of you are probably saying, Brother Bill, I wondered when you're going to get over in 2 Timothy in chapter 4. Well, thank you very much. We're there right now. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 1 through 8, Paul, so far as we know, was writing the last of his epistles. From reading this portion of Scripture, we realize that he realized his time was very short. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 1 through 8. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. One of the last of Paul's concerns, and I realize he was motivated by the Holy Spirit. I'm well aware of that. But he's charging young Timothy now as how he should stand and that he should preach the precious word of God and to be instant when it's easy to be instant. When it's not easy to be instant, in season, out of season, and I'll assure you this will try any man to reprove, rebuke, and to exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Paul said, because there's going to come a time when people will not endure sound doctrine. Well, what will they do? Well, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. I have an interesting little cartoon that I have carried with me for the last few days that really bespeaks what Paul was writing about. I like cartoons, by the way, especially clean cartoons. I enjoy political cartoons. Well, here's, if I could describe this, give you a word picture. There's two churches here, one on one side of the sidewalk and one on the other. There are two preachers that are standing behind the marquees out in front of the church. One preacher is standing there alone. He'd got nobody going in his church door. He's got a sad look on his face. On the other side is a preacher with a big grin on his face, and he's got people lined up waiting to get into his church. Now, here's what's on the marquee. On the marquee of the preacher that had nobody that was waiting to get in, his sermon title was What God Has Said. The other sermon topic was What Would You Rather Hear? On the one side, this preacher wanted to preach what God has said. The other was preaching by whatever the polls indicated that the people wanted to hear. Now, that's exactly what Paul was writing about here when he said, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine." That's not new to our generation. You know that, and I know that. Way back in the days of the prophets, I mean way back there, there were some people who said to the prophet, "Hey, don't you preach to us right things. You prophesy to us smooth things. Don't you ruffle our feathers. Don't you tell us anything we don't want to hear. Don't you say anything to us that will bring us under conviction. You prophesy unto us smooth things." Well, Paul said that these times would come. For the time will come. He didn't say the time might come, or it's a possibility that it will come. And Paul was writing by the inspiration of the Spirit of God, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." Ear-tickling preachers. May God deliver us from ear-tickling preachers. Well, I'm a human being. I live in a robe of flesh. I've got a carnal nature, just like you have. Maybe mine's worse than yours. And sure, boy, we like to be patted on the head. We like to be patted on the back and what have you. But what we need, and by the way, there is a time for us to be encouraged. There's no question about that. But we need to be preached to. We need to have our sins called out. God said to his prophets in the Old Testament, "Lift up thy voice like a trumpet." And he said, "You tell my people their transgressions. You preach to them. Preach to them the truth." God's not interested in us taking a survey about what folks want to hear. He's interested in us telling them what he has said. I like this phrase, don't you? "They shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." Give us somebody just to tickle our ears. Don't give us somebody who is going to cause our heart to be broken and bring conviction into our hearts and lives. Just kind of tickle our ears, and that's all we want. Now, he says, "And they shall turn away their ears from the truth." Now, that's bad enough. But the twin to that is, "And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." You know, people don't just turn from the truth and stay there. Man is incurably religious. He's going to believe something. If he turns away his ear from the truth, he's going to be turning to fables. Father, I pray that you'd help us to be people of the truth, to preach the truth, to receive the truth, and encourage those who are preaching to us to preach the truth. I thank you that you said, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And you said, "If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." Thank you, God, that thy word is true from the very beginning to the very end. It's all thy precious, inspired word. And we thank thee for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Been good to be with you for another broadcast. Sure hope you can join us tomorrow. In the meantime, may our Lord be pleased to make each of us a channel of His blessing. And please join us next broadcast if you can.